Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone 15 minutes past the hour of 9. We praise Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La Rabbul Izzat, through His kindness, mercy and grace, has once again granted us the noble and the honorable day of Jum'ah, the most beloved day in the eyes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the divine inspiration that we can take maximum benefit of this day. We can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can practice on the Mubarak teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow His Mubarak Sunnat. As the listeners are away on a Friday between 9 and 10, this is what we call the Nasiha Hour. We have various scholars from our country. Sometimes we try and get scholars from abroad as well. They render to us words of advice, things by which we can be guided and we can live a better Islamic life. This week, alhamdulillah, we have on the line with us Maulana Ahmed Hatourani. Maulana is from the Mayfair area. Maulana is a teacher in a girls' madrasa in that area as well. Maulana will be speaking to us. Before we go into the program, we would like to welcome Maulana on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Maulana Ahmed?
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Maulana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your time and effort in rendering these words of advice to us. You know, dear listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our children, a very precious gift. They are amanat, they are a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And one is we send them to school. You know, the school's year has just started 2-3 weeks ago. We send them to school to get an education. We send them to madrasa also to get an education. But it's very, very important that it doesn't stop there. As parents, we have to see to the tarbiyat, the upbringing of our children. We cannot just say that, no, I send them to school or I send them to madrasa and that is enough. As parents, we have a fundamental duty, a fundamental responsibility about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question whether we fulfilled, we did not fulfill on the day of Qiyamah. So Maulana will be speaking to us on some important tips on the upbringing of children, the tarbiyat of children. Let us listen attentively. Maulana, you may begin.
Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du fa'audu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wallazina amanu wattaba'atuhum durriyatuhum bi imanin alhaqna bihim durriyatuhum wa ma alatnahum min amalihim min shay. Kullu mri'in bima kasaba rahim. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Respected listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is no doubt of the fact that in general, one of the greatest favors and ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows is the favor and the ni'mah of children. And this is such a ni'mah that not only is it a ni'mah and a joy for the Muslimin, but any person in general. And those that do not have children, they can be asked and they will tell us, you know, what a great ni'mah it is to have children. And in this day and age, people who cannot get children, etc., the lengths and the different treatments that they go through in order to try and conceive, etc. So this is a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be appreciative of this bounty. For a believer and a mu'min, children are not only a ni'mah, a blessing. In addition to that, children are one of the greatest assets that a believer can ever possess. And this is such an asset, such an investment, that if we toil and if we work consciously and diligently with regards to this asset, then inshaAllah ta'ala, the dividends of this asset will not only pay off in this dunya, but well beyond this dunya into the akhirah. And this is our asset. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the famous hadith, that إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةً. When a person passes away, then the opportunity for a'mal comes to an end. When a person's ruh has left his body, then he cannot do anything. He cannot acquire any good. He is basically useless, as we would say. There's absolutely nothing that he can do. However, there are three avenues through which such a person can still acquire and achieve the thawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are those three avenues? Number one, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, such knowledge which he left behind, through which people benefit. Example, a person is a teacher, an educator, or any person for that matter, he taught somebody something good, and that person makes a amal on that particular thing, the student makes a amal on it, and he further teaches it to others, beneficial knowledge. As long as that chain of learning and teaching is taking place by the student, then the ustad, who is now in the qabr, he has passed away, will continue receiving the reward of that knowledge which he once imparted to that student. And secondly, sadaqatin jariyah, a person leaves behind such a form of sadaqah, the benefit of which is continuous. Example, and in this day and age, there's a need for this, a water well, a person builds a water well, he digs a borehole. As long as people are drinking from this water, subhanallah, so long as that borehole does not run dry, even if the one who built it is in the qabr, he will still be getting that reward and that thawab from Allah Jalla wa Ala. And finally, and this is the topic of our discussion, waladun salihun yad'u lahu, a pious child that will make dua for him. He leaves behind such a child who is pious, and that he will make dua for his parents. And remember, honorable, respected parents and listeners and everybody, that it is only a pious child that would generally take out this time, think of his parents, and really make dua for the maghfirah of his parents. So, it's not any child that will make dua, but most of the time, in fact, all of the time, it is the pious child that will actually make dua for his parents after they have left this dunya. So, it is a challenge for us as parents that how can we make this asset, the asset of our children, work for us in such a way that the dividends of this asset, the benefit of this asset, pay off well, not only into this dunya, but well into the akhirah as well. This is our challenge. And this pertains to the tarbiyah and the disciplining of our children. There is no doubt that this is a very lengthy discussion. However, we are not going to go into too much detail. I've taken out about two or three, four points which are essential and very, very important in terms of the tarbiyah of the children. And inshallah, we will just discuss those few points. Firstly, as parents, it is of extreme importance that we make our children a focal point in our lives. We have to labor and toil and do hard work in growing up and nurturing our children. You know, we've been referring to our children as an asset. And just like a person's business is an asset to him, he toils and he labors. And we say in this day and age that you've got to be hands-on on your business. You've got to be hands-on in your business. The other day, I went somewhere to one business and I saw the owner was packing cartons at the back. And that is the practical explanation of being hands-on in a business. So in the same way, if we want this asset of our children to pay off, we've got to be hands-on. We've got to make special time for them. You know, the sad reality in this day and age, honorable listeners, we as parents are so busy. We are so busy in our jobs, in our professions, business, and as much as in our daily chores, that we have no time for our children. Absolutely no time. In fact, you know, we are so busy that sometimes we snub them. And sometimes we consider them, na'udhu billah, as pests. As parents, we've got to understand that our children are so important they are so important. They are more important to us than our businesses, because our children can be that asset which will bring us benefit even in the year after. And, you know, we are always busy, but there is no doubt of the fact that the most busiest person was no one other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody can say that I am more busy than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the governor of Madinatul Munawwarah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the imam and the khatib of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the qaid al-a'zam, the major, the general of the army of the Muslimin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the qadi, he was the judge, the hakim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a friend. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a husband to more than four wives. He was a father, he was a son-in-law, he was a father-in-law. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hands were full all the time, seeing to the delegations coming from outside, sending the jama'at going out, preparing the sahaba radiallahu anhum, the mujahideen, to go out, and various chores and responsibilities on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet you would find in the kitabs of sirah and the kitabs that deal with the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time and the attention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give to his children, in particular Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, because the other three daughters had passed away before that. So Fatima radiallahu anha was left. And we find that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come from a journey, he would start with the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the first place he would go was to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And on a daily basis, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet Fatima radiallahu anha, or she would come to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes in the hadith also that sometimes Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would go to the house of Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhuma and wake them up at the time of tahajjud. It comes that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to their house in the evening, and while they were lying in bed, subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit between them and give them nasiha. And that is from where the tasbih of Fatima has come. We're not going to go into that detail, but this was the focus and this was the attention that Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his children. And when his grandchildren Hussein and Hussein radiallahu anhuma came, the entire chapters in the kitabs of hadith would show how Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam this demonstrated his love, his compassion, his time, and his focus on his children, and how he made the tarbiyah as well. One day Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the khutbah, he was speaking, he was addressing the people, and here Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, young children, toddlers, running in the masjid, subhanallah, slipping, walking, standing up, falling. When they're coming towards Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam descends from the masjid, from the minbar, and he picks up his two grandsons and he says, "Sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken the truth, innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna, that your wealth and your children are a trial and tribulation." So this time and attention we've got to give to our children. It is of extreme importance that we make them priority in our lives, and we do not make them, you know, a sideline, that when I do have time, then I will see to my children. In fact, our day should rotate around our children. Honorable parents, listeners of Radio Islam International, you know, a parent who is always busy, a parent who is always occupied, you know, let it not be such that the day will come when we have aged and we have reached that stage in our life where we are in need of somebody. Allah protect us, one and all. And that day when we will, you know, expect, or we will aspire for the assistance and the compassion of our children, they will turn around and say, "Today I'm very busy." And that is the reality. The poet says, "Laysa al-yateemu man intaha abawahu min ammi al-hayati wa khallafahu dalila. إن اليتيم هو الذي تلقى له أما تخلت أو أبا مشغولا." An orphan, a real orphan, is not one who has lost both his parents and they have left him behind without anything. But an orphan is that person who has a mother who is busy and a father who is also occupied. That is an orphan. So we need to give and dedicate our time and our focus on our children. We have to give them that time. It's a hands-on responsibility. We have to be at it all the time. We have to give them our time. This is the crux of this point. Secondly, alhamdulillah, many of us as parents, we are aware of the importance of the tarbiyah, of the disciplining. And many people, alhamdulillah, are starting to realize the importance of you know, constantly disciplining and making the tarbiyah of our children. But there is a very, very important and crucial ingredient to the disciplining of our children. We are not going to talk of the disciplining in general. We are talking of one ingredient in the aspect of tarbiyah, of discipline. And that ingredient is the ingredient of love. Discipline with harshness will normally cause fear, and many a times it will cause hatred in the heart of a child. A wise physician once said, the best medicine is love. The best medicine is love. Someone asked, what if it doesn't work? He smiled and replied, increase the dose. And really, respected listeners of Radio Islam, if we really look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master, our role model, the coolness of our eyes, that being whom we have great hopes that he will intercede on our behalf on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah grant us all the ability, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, or all the opportunity of drinking from the hawd, from the mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his methodology of disciplining, wallahi al-azim, there is only love and compassion. And there is no two ways about it. There is only love and compassion, irrespective of the gravity of the situation, irrespective of how serious the nature of the crime was. In particular, when it comes to the tarbiyah and the disciplining of children. And I will narrate a story or two. Muawiyah bin Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu says that one day I was reading Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when somebody sneezed. So whilst in Salah I said, Yarhamukallah. And when I realized and I saw the people looking at me very, very strangely, they were booing at me, you know, they were looking at me with very, very fiercely. So I said, what is the matter with you people? Why are you looking at me like that? And then the people started hitting their hands on their thighs. So I realized that they are trying to quieten me. They are trying to silence me. So I remained silent. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. And this sahabi says, subhanallah, he says, Allah, may my parents be sacrificed. May I be sacrificed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my life be sacrificed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've never seen a teacher before, neither before nor after him, that was more better, more compassionate, more kind, more merciful and diplomatic than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not shout at me, nor did he hit me, nor did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insult me. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ هَذِي الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَصْلُحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. That this salah, this is a communion between you and Allah. In this salah, it is not permissible to talk and to say such things which resembles the kalam, the speech of people. In this salah, we have to make the tasbih, the takbir, and the tilawah, the Quran. This was the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that one day majlis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking place. And this youngster walks in. And he says, "Oh Rasul of Allah, I want to give me the ijazah and the permission to commit zina." Now imagine if somebody had to come to us and tell us something of that nature. What would we have done? We would have blown it. We would have lost our temper. We would have become physically abusive, verbally abusive, insulting. We would have made a riba of that person. La ilaha illallah. That is not the method. And that is not the tariqah. What was the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts him down and tells him, "Come closer." Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, "Oh boy, do you like it that somebody commits zina with your mother?" The boy says, "May my parents be sacrificed for you, O Rasul of Allah." "Of course not." Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "Similarly, nobody else likes it that somebody commits zina with that person's mother." "Do you like it, oh my boy, that somebody commits zina with your daughter?" The boy says, "May my parents be sacrificed for you. I do not like it." Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Similarly, nobody likes it that somebody commits zina with their daughter." And like this, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him a few things. Thereafter, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his mubarak hands on the chest of this boy. He made this dua. "Allahumma tahhir qalba waghfir dhanba wa hassin farja." "Oh Allah, purify your heart, forgive your sins, and grant him chastity." So this was the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it came to the disciplining of children. Beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha said that إِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. That compassion, kindness, diplomacy, softness is not found in anything except that it beautifies it, and it is not taken away from anything except that it disfigures that particular thing, that it makes it ugly. No matter the gravity of the situation, we ought to call our children, sit them down with love and muhabba. And wallahi al-azim, that is the only thing that works. Love and muhabba, compassion, kindness, with their goodness at heart, we need to explain to them. Even if it means time and again, no matter how many times, 100 times, thousands of times, that is not sufficient. And we have to maintain that love, that wisdom, that hikmah, and that diplomacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Akrimu awladakum wa ahsinu adabahum." This is a very beautiful hadith. "Akrimu awladakum wa ahsinu adabahum." You know, many times, and we mentioned this previously, that we snub our children. We do not give them the attention. We consider them, na'udhu billah, as pest. We push them away. I'm busy. Or we tell them, you know, "Why are you carrying on like an animal?" We talk, you know, harsh words to them. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. What is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? "Akrimu awladakum." Honor your children. Honor your children. How does a person honor his child? Give him that respect. Address the child with respect. Treat the child with respect. Speak to the child with respect. Discipline the child with respect. Irrespective, a child is a child. He's going to do what he's going to do. Mischievousness is part of the nature of the child. But as parents, we need to learn tolerance, forbearance. Not forgetting the importance of discipline, but with hikmah, with wisdom, with diplomacy, and with love and compassion. With honoring our children, we have to discipline them. To ahsinu adabahum, and make a good job of their discipline. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the crux of this point is that we've got to discipline our children with love and compassion. Thirdly, as parents, we've got to search for ways in which to instill self-confidence in our children, courage in our children. And that will come through various things, but three primary things through which confidence will be created within our children is through love and encouragement. And as we mentioned, that if somebody cowers and he swears, and he abuses, and he loses his temper, and he insults, Wallahi al-Azim, this only has a negative impact on our children. They will feel ridiculed. They will lose their confidence. So number one, instill courage into the children through love and encouragement. Number two, children love stories. So through the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, beautiful stories of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, the different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salam, the stories of the Sahaba, the stories of the pious predecessors of Islam. Through these stories, we tell them, we read these stories, we should prepare for them, read these stories and give it to them, tell it to them over the table, tell it to them at the time when they are sleeping, when we are traveling in a journey, talk to them of these stories. And number three, through companionship. One is companionship of intelligent people, of good people. But it is very, very important that we encourage our children and we include them in the companionship of the ulama and the elders. It is of utmost importance that we bring children, we keep our children with us. And when the elders are sitting, try and sit the children down so they can listen to what the elders are talking. They can listen to what the ulama are saying. And like this, this will create knowledge. This will create a broader understanding of the realities of life. This will create confidence. And finally, respected listeners of Radio Islam, I would just like to make mention of a few stories of how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how the youngsters among the Sahaba were treated by their elders, how the young ones among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum displayed courage and confidence, and how the young ones among the Sahaba were admired by the elders. And obviously these are the things that creates confidence in a child. And I have about two or three stories in front of me, which I will mention and then we will conclude insha'Allah ta'ala. The first story, an incident, is that of Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu was a youngster. And they were playing on the streets of Madinatul Munawwarah. All the children were playing. And in the distance they see Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu walking. And we know that Umar radiallahu anhu had a sense of awe that he demanded. He had this, you know, natural mahaba, haiba that he instilled into the heart. But when the children saw him, they all scattered and dispersed. Except Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was surprised. And when he reached him, he said, "Oh boy, why is it that you did not run with the children?" So Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was a youngster. He was the son of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. What did he say? He turned around and he said, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, I am not a criminal that on seeing you I should flee, nor is the road too narrow that you cannot pass by with me standing here," with no disrespect. This is courage. This is confidence. Nothing, no disrespect intended, no disrespect mentioned, no sign of disrespect. And what could Umar radiallahu anhu say? Subhanallah. And obviously, this is through the upbringing that was given to him by his father. Another incident. Hazrat Sa'al bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu said that one day in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were a few sahaba radiallahu anhu, and somebody brought a drink to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps it was water or milk. And to the right hand side of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this young sahabi, a youngster. And to the left hand side of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the elders among the sahaba, senior sahaba. And we know that the sunnah is after you drink, you give it to the person on the right. When you're sitting on the dastarkhan or the table, the elder will start with dishing out the meals and then he will pass it to the right. These are the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished drinking, The right is that it should go to the right. But respect demands that the young ones should give it, should give preference to the elders. That is what respect demands. So look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just usurp the right of the youngster on his right hand side. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and said, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَىٰ O young boy, do you give me the permission to give this glass or this bowl or whatever drink it was to those on the left, to give it to the senior people? So what did this young boy say? He said, O Rasul of Allah, why should I give others preference over myself regarding your tabarruk and your barakah? Why should I give preference to somebody else when it comes to taking partaking of your barakah and your tabarruk? Subhanallah. This is confidence and this is courage in a positive way. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to this boy on the right hand side, and this boy had his share, and thereafter it was passed over to the senior sahaba radiallahu. And another one or two incidents, and then we will conclude. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says that I was a youngster, and we were sitting in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked a question. What was the question? The question was that إن من الشجر شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وإنها مثل المسلم مثل المسلم تحدثوني ما هي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the Sahaba رضي الله عنه a question. You take the imtihan that there is a tree among the trees, its leaves do not fall, and it is very similar to a mu'min, to a believer. What tree is this? Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was a youngster. He says the people went and dispersed into the orchards to look for this tree and to see what tree it was, so they could give the jawab and the answer to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that moment it came in my heart that this was the nakhla, the kajur tree, the date tree. And out of modesty and out of shame, keeping in mind there was senior sahaba radiallahu anhum sitting there and none of them were talking, I also remained silent. Be it as it may, when they returned, Rasulullah asked them, what is it? They said, we do not know, O Rasul of Allah. What is it, O Rasul of Allah? Rasulullah said, here nakhla, it is the date palm. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, whilst we were going home, I was going home with my father, Umar radiallahu anhu, and I told my father, Abaji, oh my father, this is what happened. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question, immediately the answer came in my heart. But out of modesty, out of maybe, you know, respect, I saw that the seniors, I saw yourself and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu not answering, so I also remained silent. Subhanallah, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And this is what we understand, and this is what we have to take home. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, oh my son, had you given that answer in that majlis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would have brought more joy to my heart than that of red camels. Red camels at that time was considered to be a great luxury and an extremely expensive and valuable type of camel mode of transport, which in this day and age is a late model vehicle, you know, one of those expensive vehicles. This is what Umar radiallahu anhu told his son. This is the encouragement. And this is the tarbiyah that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made of their children. Respected listeners of Radio Islam International, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, give us the ability and the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children the coolness of our eyes. May Allah jalla wa ala grant us the strength, the wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength and the wisdom to deal with our children in the right way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and ourselves from the different fitnas that are out there, the fitnas that are ready to snatch our iman, ever ready to snatch our iman. May Allah jalla wa ala make it such that we grab this opportunity of life. We focus on the tarbiyah and the discipline of our children so that these children may be fruitful and successful in the dunya, in the akhirah. And these children, our children, may be an invaluable and a priceless asset for us, even in the akhirah. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
JazakAllah, Malana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for those very inspiring words and that very deep message that you had tried to drive home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we ourselves and everybody listening can practice on those beautiful words.
Amen. JazakAllah khair.
JazakAllah, Malana. We will speak again, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, Malana had tried to drive home a very, very important message, the message of the tarbiyat of our children, you know, putting them in front of the TV and switching cartoons on, or putting them in front of the Xbox and buying for them the latest games. This is not what we call a tarbiyat. This is not an upbringing that our children deserve and the upbringing that our children need and the upbringing that we are responsible for giving to them. Yes, Mawlana had cited various examples from the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Mawlana gave a very, very many stories. Mawlana spoke of, Mawlana mentioned a very beautiful saying of the love that we need to give our children. If there is not enough, then give them more. And if there is not enough, give them still more. Until we bring them close to us, our children, we must become, as well as we are the parents of the child, we have to become the friends of the child as well. And we have to develop a special relationship and a special friendship with our children so that one day they must be looking up to us and we must be proud of them. Really, dear listeners, as Malana has said, right in the start, that we won't look after our children and we don't give them the necessary attention and the necessary tarbiyah that they need at this time in their life, then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, it mustn't happen that later on, many years later, when we are in need of their help, of their assistance, then they are not prepared to render that assistance to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to be the perfect parents, the parents that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was to his own daughters and to his own grandchildren, the parents that Sahaba were to their children, the important lifestyle and life messages that they taught their children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, so that we terminate this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.